Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. With all the talk these days about fake news, learning how to evaluate what we see and hear in the media takes on a new significance. This is Media Literacy Week in St. Louis. The Gateway Media Literacy Partners have scheduled a week-long series of events to put the issue before the public. Joining me in studio are Mary Pat Gallagher and Natasha Casey of Gateway Media Literacy Partners. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Here we go again, a yearly event and a very important one, I think, for this community. Mary Pat, let me begin with you. The theme this week is inclusion in a connected world. What does that have to do with media literacy?
Well, we are all connected. We're connected in so many ways, and we're all connected to screens and digital devices. And we see things that happen not only in our own neighborhoods, but all over the world. And being able to navigate those digital devices and those screens are so important, especially now.
But the word inclusion, where does that come in?
I'm going to let Natasha talk because she's on our executive board, and they chose the title of that.
Sure.
Okay, great.
I'd like to say we came up with it, but we actually stole inclusion in a connected world from our Canadian neighbors. Mm-hmm. So it's also National Media Literacy Week in the United States and Canada. And Canada's theme this year was inclusion in a connected world. And we thought that's a good thing to think about, like what voices are left out of media, what voices sometimes are marginalized in media. And so some of the events that we have coming up this week talk about that. For example, people with disabilities in the media are often marginalized. And so that's a voice we wanted to bring in. On Wednesday night, we're doing an event around racial diversity in the media. And again, sometimes those voices are marginalized. So that inclusion part is very important to our group, but also to many groups around the country. And like I said, shout out to our Canadian neighbors.
Well, good for them. Let me point out that we'll have your full schedule on our website at stlpublicradio.org because there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, I mentioned in the introduction that this is the time when everybody is reacting one way or another to fake news. Do you think, Mary Pat, that this is helpful to the media literacy world?
Oh, of course. I think it is. One thing we were talking about earlier today, Natasha and myself, we all have biases. And it's really good that we all know that we have them. And we need to be aware of those biases that exist. And we want to make sure that what we're hearing and what we're seeing is credible. And how do we navigate that? How do we figure that out? And especially, how do we teach children to do that?
Well, Natasha, how do we figure it out?
I think that the fake news is a great entry point. You know, it's really highlighted media literacy. But, of course, media literacy has been around for decades all around the world. And people have been teaching it to children. I teach to undergraduate students. And there's no quick answer. And I think that's one of the things with the fake news sort of drama over the last few months. There's an idea like, is there one source that we can go to? Is there one way we can fact check everything? And I don't think that's really reasonable to think that everybody's going to scroll through their Twitter feed and fact check everything that comes over it. That's not the world we're living in. But can you instill in students ways to be, critically analyzed systematically? Yes, you can, but there's no one easy answer. And I think that's the danger of the fake news topic, I think. You know, people are looking for one quick answer, and it's not. It's a lifetime of building those skills that can start when you're really young, but have to continue. We develop them every day, even as teachers, we're still developing them.
You know, it's taken on, it seems to me, a new dimension recently. I mean, it's one thing if somebody publishes a report that has erroneous information in it. It's another thing, given the fact we spend so much time on screens, that another country is really trying to bend the way we think. I mean, this is another aspect that media literacy has to look at and prepare for.
Absolutely. And ownership of media. And I mean, even Mary Pat and I were talking about this a while ago, just thinking about perspectives from international. You know, we always encourage students to look at What's in newspapers overseas and how does that contrast with what we're seeing here? You know, different agendas drive things that end up on the front page of the newspaper or the top story on your television. And getting students in the United States, which I think tends to be a little bit more insular about it, to think about their media versus other countries is also really important.
Mm-hmm. Mary Pat, when should these skills start being taught?
I am a proponent of when you're three. The American Academy of Pediatrics in the fall of 2016 made a recommendation that children under two are not exposed to screens with the exception of Skyping or talking to grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. So after children are two, I think it's totally developmentally appropriate for them to learn how to use screens the right way. We teach kids to brush their teeth when they get their teeth. We teach kids how to eat healthy, and we should teach them when they're little so that as they grow and mature, they can spot the fake news.
But how do you do that with a three-year-old?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
You sit down side by side with them and you do it. I'm going to share a story with you. I have a grandson who's nine. His name is Frankie. We did a report on Jackie Robinson. Frankie has all the bells and whistles down. He can animate baseballs, footballs, soccer balls on his screen, on his little iPad. Mm-hmm. I said, Frankie, this is great. This is engaging. Your classmates are going to love this, and so is your teacher. What's the story you're trying to tell your audience about Jackie Robinson? He said, Lolly, you're right. You're right. And then we went in and we looked and we got information about him, about Jackie Robinson, and it's never too early. So for a three-year-old, you sit down side by side and you parallel, you model what you want the kids to do.
Yeah, you ask co-view, right,
is you what they, co-view.
What they call it. And I agree. I don't think it's ever too young to start just asking questions about, like you said, with your grandson, asking those questions about sourcing and where is he getting his information from and how do you know what you know? And I think the other thing is that we tend to think that kids, because they can do the bells and whistles, that somehow they're smarter about it. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. And I think it's true for adults, too. You know, like we haven't been taught how to use this piece of technology in our phone.
You're holding your phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nobody's been taught how to use that, right? We haven't really had discussions about it. This technology has come into our worlds and adults or children don't necessarily know how to navigate it. One of the first things I do with my students is there's a little app on there called Checky, and it's how many times you check your phone in a day. Like that's the first thing, just awareness about how attached you are to that piece of just think about that for a second. Not even talking about the sources or any place you're going to online, but just how many times you touch your phone now, why and for what reason. You know, it's become just sort of a habit. So like awareness is the first step. Like
It is, yes.
You have to develop a sense of trust, though, at some point. You talk about researching Jackie Robinson, for instance. You can go to Wikipedia and get a lot of information on Jackie Robinson, but there's no guarantee, because of the way Wikipedia is structured, that information is going to be accurate or correct.
You're so right. And I say Wikipedia is a springboard. It tells you where to go. You can, and if you scroll down to the bottom of where they get their sources, oftentimes that's where you can go and dig deeper and get information. I like to equate media literacy education with teaching teenagers how to drive. Kind of just like what Natasha was saying, we have these devices and no one's taught us how to use them. You don't give your 15-year-old the keys and say, go try it out. Come back and tell me, how were those stop signs? You know, how was that parallel parking? You teach them. And that's why we need to teach kids how to use these devices, because they're wonderful. They're fantastic tools. I love my devices. But I had to be taught. And again, back to my grandson, Frankie, he taught me how to make my emoji. I'm like, I don't know how to make an emoji.
Right.
But I taught him to look at Getty Images if he wanted a picture of Jackie Robinson that was credible. I said, this is where you want to go.
I'm not trying to be cute here, but, you know, you talk about used to be that every 15-year-old wanted to drive. And these days, fewer of them want to drive. Young people are kind of disavowing cars and going for public transportation. So they've got a want. to do what you're talking about.
Exactly. And kids have to find a value. The teacher or the adult in their life has to motivate them to want to learn this information.
Yeah, and I think it's doable, because the great thing about teaching any kind of media is that you're talking about pop culture. Like, do their eyes glaze over if you're talking about hard news? 9 times out of 10, yes, that's true. But if you want to talk about something that's meaningful in their lives, pop culture is a great place to start. So it's an in. You can do it with any text. It doesn't have to be the New York Times front page. You know, you can use, you just brought up Wikipedia. I'd like to say, in defense of Wikipedia, because I'm doing this in class tomorrow, so spoiler alert for the students who are listening, but it's actually quite difficult to edit a page on Wikipedia. And we go through that process. And like Mary Pat said, like, that's a great place to start. You don't necessarily want to quote it, but it is a great place to start. But let's understand how Wikipedia is constructed and the ways in which the hurdles you have to jump in order to edit a page on there. What does that look like? And then you'll be able to understand that information better.
You are teaching young people who are considerably older than Frankie, college students at Blackburn. How are they responding to this and reacting to this? Are they into it?
They are into it. I call my media, I teach a media and information literacy class. I call it my gateway drug into my comm program in lots of ways, because it is the thing that really fascinates them. Because you are dealing with things that they do every day. You know, if you're talking about how important is media in your life, talk about music, talk about their fandom of a television show, talk about, and we can take, doesn't matter what the text is, then we can start asking those questions. Like, who is in this show? How are they represented? What's left out of this show? Are there stereotypes in this show? How do you know? So you can use their fandom of pop culture to ask these bigger questions about media and information literacy. So I think it's, I mean, obviously I'm a little bit biased, but I think it's a great way to get at these bigger questions.
Yeah, that is critical, figuring out a way to get them to have that interest. I've got to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking about media literacy. This is Media Literacy Week in St. Louis. A number of events are happening during the course of the week to get people into this subject and learn more about it. We'll talk about some of those events when we come back. My guests in studio are Mary Pat Gallagher and Natasha Casey, both of Gateway Media Literacy Partners here in St. Louis. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation on media literacy with Mary Pat Gallagher and Natasha Casey. This is a national week of media literacy discussion. How well coordinated is what is going on here in St. Louis with what the national and Canadian folks are doing?
Yeah, so if you go to the National Association for Media Literacy Education, they list all the partners. There's several hundred partners all over the country, from organizations like ours to colleges and elementary schools, and you can see them all listed. We're all doing different things, but all around, you know, similar topics.
And Mary Pat, you know, the schools would have to play a role in this, because you mentioned education earlier, and I know that teaching critical thinking skills is a big part of the whole media literacy thing. How well are the schools cooperating, and how do they teach critical thinking?
Some schools now actually do include digital citizenship, media literacy, health literacy. It's part of the elementary school system in some schools. It's been slow, I think, to be recognized in elementary settings, but it's kind of now, it's here. It's been more high school and higher education, but it's happening. And just asking questions, finding out where information is coming from, who owns the news source where that information is coming from. Those are all things you can do with young children.
Yeah, I think the schools are under enormous pressure, you know, to for, you know, one more subject on top of everything they have to do. So there's kind of two approaches to media literacy throughout schools. And one is, you know, a standalone, which teachers mostly don't have time for, but they integrate it into other subjects. So if you're talking history, you know, what sources are you using? That's the same idea, isn't it? You know, who wrote that history book? Who's left out of that history book? Who's marginalized in that history book? So those are all the same questions. So there's a great organization up in New York called Project Look Sharp, and they do they offer a model of how to incorporate media literacy across the disciplines in K through 12.
What is the title of your course?
Mine's called Media and Information Literacy.
So there it is, right?
There it is. Yeah.
And you have a pretty good turnout of students interested in this subject?
I do. They have to take it, Don. They have no choice. It's compulsory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you're a communications major or minor, you have to take it. If you're a professional writing major or minor, you have to take it. If you're a secondary English education major, it's part of the curriculum. So we're slowly making our way through all the areas on the college at Blackburn. But it's compulsory.
I hate to go back to the Trump thing, the fake news, but the constant harangue against the media. How are the students reacting to that?
Honestly, I think they're so tired of hearing about it. I think of all the topics that I cover in the semester, fake news. It was called on my syllabus, do we have to talk about fake news? And we did. We had to. And political news are some of the least interesting things to them. But of course, they are important. But I think they're tuned out for lots of reasons. It's hard to get into news. It's depressing. Young people don't vote. Overwhelmingly don't vote, don't have an interest. So while that's an in some ways, I think for some of them, they're not yet interested in that. And you can't make them, no course is going to make them interested in that, you know.
But Mary Pat, this comes back to getting them started earlier and getting the proper guidance and mentorship going.
Sure.
So that they will be interested.
Sure. And a big part of media literacy now is media production. We want to give kids those tools to create their own media, to tell their own stories, whether it's through blogging or it's through creating their own videos or whatever it is. We're trying to do that as well, giving the kids those tools that they need.
They've got the tools. Every one of them has got the tools.
But they don't
know how to.
They don't know the language, right?
Yeah.
All the tools have a language, and you have to be taught how to use that language.
Just to elaborate on that. What do you mean they don't have the language?
So they might know. They might have a computer, and they might have an editing suite on it. But do they know how cinema works? Do they know what a shot? If you're putting a shot, you're looking down on somebody. Do they know that usually symbolizes power? I mean, they watch it, but have they ever analyzed it and then understand how to replicate that, you know?
And the use of color. You know, there's so many, and sound, just all those production elements. They need to learn that at a younger age if they're going to be telling their own stories.
You mentioned sound. It just reminds me, going back to my television days, when news departments began to use music to enhance news reports. Well, you all know what you can do with music to really shape a story, you know, and maybe misrepresent what's actually going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like music is a great example because that usually appeals to the emotion. So like, let's look at something. And I do this in class. There's great videos on YouTube. You can get like watch an opening sequence of Pirates of the Caribbean, but change up the music. And what effect does that have on you? And so that's just about, again, deconstructing, you know, the media text in front of you.
If you use stirring music to help tell a story, it's going to shade that story somehow.
Absolutely.
No question about it. Mary Pat, let's talk a little bit about what's going on this week. What are some of the things that is part of Media Literacy Week?
Well, last night we had a rally, so our board got together and got to have some conversation and just talk about our future plans. And then there was a film that was part of the St. Louis International Film Festival that was held. It was shown over at Webster University. And then this week there's two other films, and then there's Disability in the Media and Diversity in the Newsroom. And these are both happening. One is happening at the Starkloff Disability Institute with Colleen Starkloff, and again, Natasha is on the executive board, so she knows a little more about the events that are happening than
I
do.
Well, let's go to Natasha then.
So one of the things we try to do this year is partner up with other groups. And so on Tuesday, as Mary Pat already said, 5 to 7, we're doing an event at the Starkloff Disability Institute to talk about how people with disabilities are represented in the media. And that ties back into that inclusion idea that we started.
Let's just stop there for a moment. How are people with disabilities represented, or are they?
Right. Yeah, well, that's two issues. They're often marginalized or left out completely. But then the terms that are used, you know, language is always evolving. But unfortunately, in the media, we don't always keep up with that. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the objectives is to bring a lot of media professionals into this event on Tuesday night. And from perspectives with people who actually have disabilities, like an old example would be in the past, people would use the language like confined to a wheelchair, right?
And handicapped.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And as language evolves, it's not just about political correctness. It's about recognizing those mm-hmm. people's individuality and their place in society and the preferred terms that they use. So I think that's going to be an important event.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, because I think most of us, when we think of terms, we think about the consumers of news. But the people who are producing it oftentimes have a lot to learn about things that they're writing about as well. That's part of media literacy too, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we never stop learning about that because, mm-hmm. as I said earlier, that language is always evolving, whether we're talking about people with disabilities or other, you know, historically marginalized groups. You know, that's an evolution over time. We never stop learning about it.
And you mentioned inclusion in the newsrooms too, and that's being... that's something that has been an issue for as long as I've been around in the business, and that's a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really looking forward to partnering with the Online News Association to co-host that on Wednesday night from 6 to 8. And we'll have a lot of groups in St. Louis represented there from smaller presses, a lot of sort of new Americans, immigrants to the country, and they'll talk about some of the challenges that that they face in their particular groups being represented in the media too. So.
Well, again, I'll point out that you've got a lot going on, that we'll have information on our website about exactly what is going on. You guys have been at this for a while now. Do you see any improvement in terms of the way people are responding and the way people are evaluating what they see and hear?
I think I do. I think that there's more awareness. Mm-hmm. I think there's more awareness and more people really pausing and thinking, is that really true? Did what I see, did that really happen? Is that true? I want to dig deeper. I want to know more. And I think people now know a little bit better of where to go to get that background information.
Go ahead, Natasha.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like 5 years ago, media literacy, most people, if they weren't in that field, probably never heard that term. Now, because of the fake news and election, it's really put it in the spotlight. And you see programs growing all over the country, higher ed, K-12, lots of community groups. So there's a groundswell. I think it's a real moment for the field to develop.
You know, I'm seeing something else, though. I'm seeing the people who are being told that The New York Times, The Washington Post are just fake news, and they're willing to accept that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have students from all kinds of political perspectives, and those perspectives sometimes are very ingrained. But all you can do is ask the question. It's not media literacy is not a panacea to all the problems we have in the world. But for the first time, they're asked, how do you know that's a credible source? How do you evaluate it? You know, talk to me about the specifics. So rather than just taking something that's a major generalization, you know, asking students to dig a little deeper, I think they start asking those questions. And that's the key. That's the key to any healthy democracy.
Thoughts on that, Mary Pat?
No, I agree with what Natasha says. And I wanted to just share that Gateway Media Literacy Partners is going to start a speakers bureau. That's going to happen this spring. And the executive board are going to be our first four speakers. There'll be information, I guess, on the website, and people can find out about who's doing what. But I think that's a great way to raise awareness. And I think just getting out there and talking about this in the community, mm-hmm. not just in schools, but, you know, it, a library presentation or, you know, where people gather to discuss these kinds of things. I'm really glad that our new board is going in that direction. I think it's wonderful.
With regard to your events this week, we have to wrap this up. Are the events free? So where do we like to use around here?
They are free, and moreover, we will have food and drink too. So there's no good reason not to come out.
Yeah. All righty. Well, any final thoughts you want to leave us with, Mary Pat?
I just want to thank you for this opportunity to help us spread our messages and the importance of media literacy.
Yeah, it is important. Natasha?
I'd encourage people to go to our website or look up the national website and get involved and figure out how we can help you become more media literate in your organization and your community.
We'll have a link to that as well. Thank you so much. Mary Pat Gallagher, thank you for being with us. And Natasha Casey, nice to see you again. Thank you for being with us. They're both representing Gateway Media Literacy Partners. A schedule of Media Literacy Week events, as I said, will be found on our website. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.